Canto 12, Chapter 9. Markandeya is shown the Lord's bewildering potency. Sri Sutta said, "The Supreme Lord Narayana, Nara's friend, who thus by Markandeya, the intelligent sage, was properly respected, thereupon satisfied, spoke to the eminent follower of Bhrigu. The Supreme Lord said, "O dear man, perfectly absorbed in the soul, you are the best of all Brahman seers, for by your austerities, recitations and concentration, you do not deviate in your devotional service unto me. We are perfectly satisfied about your steady adherence to the great vow. We wish you all the best. Please choose a benediction to your liking. I am the giver of all benedictions you desire." The Honorable Rishi said, "You, O Lord of Lords, O Infallible One, are victorious as the remover of the distress of the surrendered soul. We are perfectly satisfied with as much as the benediction of having seen your good self. Brahma and others, with a mind matured in yoga, all acquired the sight of your omnipotent lotus feet, and now you in person are visible before my eyes. Nonetheless, O lotus-eyed crest jewel of fame, I would like to witness the illusory potency because of which the entire world, along with its rulers, knows the absolute truth as a material differentiation." Sutta said, "O sage, Shaunaka, the Supreme Lord, by the Rishi, to his satisfaction being glorified and worshipped with these words, said with a smile to him, 'So be it.' Thereupon the Lord departed for Bhattarikashrama. The Rishi remained behind in his hermitage, thinking only of that purpose of witnessing the energy of the Lord, and venerated and meditated, under all circumstances, the Lord to the best of his ability, as being present in the fire, the sun, the moon, the water, the earth, the wind, the lightning, as also in his heart. Thus immersed in the stream of pure love, prema, he sometimes forgot to prove his respects. O best of Bhrigu, when the sage one day was performing his evening worship on the bank of the Pushpa Bhadra, a great wind arose, O Brahmin. It created a terrible sound, followed by the appearance of threatening clouds as solid as wagon wheels that resounded loudly with lightning and torrential showers of rain everywhere. Then, from all sides, the four oceans appeared that engulfed the surface of the earth with wind-tossed waves in which there were terrible sea monsters and fearful whirlpools accompanied by ominous sounds. Perplexed, the sage became afraid seeing how the earth flooded and all the four types of inhabitants of the universe as born from moist seed embryos and eggs, including himself, inside and outside were plagued by the fierce winds, the bolts of lightning, and the great waves of water rising higher than the sky. Before his eyes, the water of the great ocean was swirled around by hurricanes in frightening waves, as it swelled with the rain from the clouds and covered the entire earth, including its continents, islands, and mountains. With the three worlds, the earth, outer space, the celestial bodies, and heavenly places flooded in all directions, the great sage, as the only soul remaining, wandered about like a dumb and blind person with his matted locks scattered. Suffering hunger and thirst, attacked by monstrous crocodiles and whale-eaters, and plagued by the winds, he, tormented by the waves, moved about in the infinite darkness he had fallen into, overcome by fatigue and not knowing which direction of the sky or the earth he went. Sometimes drowning in a great whirlpool, and then beaten by the waves, he was threatened by monsters that tried to eat him the one moment and the other moment were attacking each other. In distress he sometimes felt sick and suffered pains with occasional depressions, bewilderment, misery, unhappiness and happiness, while fearing for his life at other times. Countless encounters, hundreds and thousands of years passed with him in bewilderment, wandering around in that Maya, that deluding material energy of Vishnu. One day, as he was roaming about there, The twice-born soul spotted, upon a raised mound of earth, a beautiful young banyan tree with fruits and blossoms. Upon a branch of it, toward the northeast, he saw an infant boy lying within the fold of a leaf, swallowing the darkness with his effulgence. Amazed, the king among the scholars drank with his eyes from the sight of his complexion that was as blue as a great emerald, his beautiful lotus face, his conch-shell striped throat, his broad chest, fine nose and beautiful eyebrows. His splendid hairs trembled to his breath, his beautiful shell-shaped ears resembled pomegranate flowers, his coral lips by their effulgence slightly reddened the nectarian charming smile on his face, and the corners of his eyes were reddish like the whirl of a lotus. His breathing moved the lines of his abdomen contorted by his deep-leaved-like navel, and he saw how the infant, with the graceful fingers of his two hands, grabbed one of his lotus feet and placed it in his mouth. When he saw the baby, his weariness was dispelled instantly, and out of pleasure the lotus of his heart and his lotus eyes spread wide open. With his hair standing on end, he wondered who that wonderful appearance could be, and went straight for the child to find an answer. That very moment, the man of Brigu, with the breath of the infant, was drawn into his body like a mosquito, whereupon he utterly surprised stood perplexed to see from that position the entire universe the way it was before. He overlooked the entire expanse of all the stars, the mountains and oceans, the directions of the great islands and continents, the enlightened and unenlightened souls, the forests, countries, rivers, cities and mines, the peasant villages, the cow pastures, and the various engagements of the Varnashrama society. Of this universe being manifested as real, he saw the basic elements of nature and all their gross manifestations, as also the time itself in the form of the different yugas and kalpas, and whatever other object of use in material life. In front of the universe, seeing the Himalayas, the Pushpabhadra river, and his hermitage, where he had met the rishis Nara and Narayana, he was, by the breath of the infant, thrown outside again and fell back into the ocean of dissolution. And there, on the raised stretch of land in the water where the banyan grew, was the child again lying in the fold of its leaf, glancing at him with a nectarian smile of love from the corner of his eyes. Placing the vision of the infant within his heart, he greatly excited ran to embrace the Lord of the Beyond. That very instant he, the Supreme Lord, the Master of Yoga in person who is hidden in the heart of all living beings, suddenly became invisible to the Rishi, the same way things that are made by an incompetent person may suddenly fail to serve. O Brahmin, following him, immediately also the banyan disappeared and the waters of the annihilation of the world, and he found himself in front of his ashrama as before.